Limgardium Leviosa.
Leviosa.
Oh, wrong. Oh.
Stop it, Rod. Stop.
Jesus Christ. Okay. What are we even talking about today? The Bandaged Man of Daytona Beach? Yeah.
We are talking about the Bandaged Man of Daytona Beach. It's actually really weird that you guessed that on the first guess.
Are you serious?
That's really fucking bizarre, man.
Wait, are you serious?
No.
Because that's not a thing. I was like, in what world? There is a Bandaged Man on some beach, but it's not Daytona Beach.
That's not Daytona Beach.
I saw it on Facebook. I don't know.
Wait, give me a little...
What's going on, YouTube? Oh, God. Oh, no. SWAT! SWAT's in my house. Guys, I got swatted. Okay. I'll see you guys
I don't really understand what swatting even is.
Rewind. Whoa, what's going on, YouTube? YouTube with a Y. We are back with another whatever the fuck we do here. Tickle each other's taints, the musical. Two guys, one John Wilkes Booth.
Well, there's three of us now.
Jesus Christ, where did you come from?
And welcome even back. Better, Gino's learned so many more words since last time. He's been doing a Duolingo, not sponsoring the show.
Now he knows different fabrics of socks.
Sponsor us. He does. He knows
linen. He knows
wool.
Gabagool.
Gino, what are your favorite socks that either you've heard of or have worn?
The ones that look like hamburgers.
They have hamburgers on them?
Yes,
or they literally look like hamburgers.
Or you put your bare feet into hamburgers and walk around.
Maybe we shouldn't have taught him about socks as the first thing, because I think part of the problem.
Everything is socks.
Everything is socks now. Gino's like, put stuff on my foot. Sock.
He's like, holy shit, guys! I can't go. I got to put my shoes on, but first, let me stick my feet into these burgers.
They're like so old and beaten down.
You know, I just looked up what could be used as socks, and it's just endless. So, I mean, my feet are in everything these days.
That's fair.
How do you feel about socks and Crocs?
Socks and Crocs?
How about... Do you think it defeats the aeration purposes of the holes in the Crocs?
I've never actually worn Crocs, but I feel like that would defeat the purpose.
Anyway, did either of you get a chance to watch the documentary I recommended?
No.
Okay, it's kind of better if you didn't, so that's fine.
Okay, that's fair. I forgot that you even sent that.
That's something. I'll take that. Okay. No, this was... I kind of knew about this UFO case for like a while and then forgot about it, and then I saw that this documentary came out, and I watched it, and I was like, it's all true. Everything, it's all true. Like... I know normally, like, we come into this show and we say, like, here's this ridiculous thing that people believe. I'm the ridiculous person that believes the thing, and that I'm so convinced of this one.
Yeah, it's a great way to get into it. It's like me and the Jersey Devil, you know?
Yeah, dude, it's fucking nutty. You just reminded me, I bought you a Christmas gift. I never sent it over to you. It's Jersey Devil related.
God. Oh, my God.
That's crazy. That's
I'll give it to you as a housewarming gift now.
Perfect.
I'll like frame it and stuff. I'll make it like really nice.
We butchered the intro. We didn't introduce ourselves or say the name of the podcast.
Yeah, when do we ever?
Oh, do we? Don't we?
I don't know. We do. We do. We should. Anyways, yeah. Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome to Conspiracy Realists. Was that your air fryer being done?
Clothes are done.
Oh, your laundry.
My
wow, you got the dryer going. You got the air fryer.
A lot of appliances happening right now in my place.
You got a child coming home.
She's coming home. It's just it's noisy up in here. Never a dull moment for me, boys.
Anyway, welcome back to Conspiracy Realists, the show where we talk about conspiracy theories, sometimes, or sort similar of. Things in the same vein. I'm Austin Harvey, your host for this episode. I'm the guy with the info.
And I'm Gino. Gino, I don't know if you can hear me or not.
Our resident sock expert, I got a new Guatemalan microphone. Refugee Gino.
Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. We had a fourth realist, but
Gino actually, he turned down Joe Rogan to be here tonight.
And Joe bought him the new mic.
Yeah, which, bold move, because he has way more exposure than we do, but probably safer. Maybe.
Anyways, what are we talking about today? That's my question. UFO.
It is a UFO case. It's one of the most like credible ones that I've ever seen because of the people that are involved in it. It's called the Aerial School UFO incident. They made a new documentary about it called Aerial Phenomenon, where the filmmaker, whose name I didn't write down, he went and interviewed the people who witnessed this now, like 30-ish years after it happened. This happened in 1994. So he met up with some of them now and talked to them. And I think the big thing about it is like, the one girl, the girl who's kind of like the effectively the protagonist of this documentary, it like fucked up her life. She saw this event and now like her parents were very religious, which is going to be a prominent thing among all these kids. Her parents are very religious. And so when she was like, oh, I think I saw aliens, you know, to paraphrase, her parents are like, well, that's not in the Bible, so we're not going to talk about that. And they moved. This happened in Zimbabwe. They moved from Zimbabwe to Canada. And this girl was never able to talk about it. Like, she hasn't really had a lot of relationships because every time she brings up, like, hey, when I was a kid, I think I saw aliens, people are like, you're fucking nuts. I'm not talking to you. So she spends most of her time just kind of painting. Like, very terrifying, fucked up paintings of what she saw that day.
Naturally. Well, that's the only therapy she has, I guess.
Yeah. Well, with, like, sort of the, you know, she's not, like, a realist painter, so there is, like, that level of the paintings are embedded with the fear she felt as well, so they are, like, very scary. But, like, seeing that and being, like, I don't, you know, no one wrote, like, one of the big, I think, giveaways with, like, bogus UFO stories is, like, did someone say they saw a UFO, then wrote a book about it, then made a movie about it, then went on talk shows and was like, now I'm the UFO person. It's like, are you, or are you just doing this to be famous? Not the case. In a lot of instances in this incident, the kids who saw it or said they saw it, like, were fucked up afterwards. And so that to me was like, oh shit, hold on, let's look into this.
It's interesting that it was in the 90s too. When you think about Roswell, it's the most known, but at this but what's suspicious about Roswell isn't really what it was. It was the fact that nobody could say, hey, that's what it was. It was like 19 different things. Government lied about it like 3 times in a row. So it's like, that's what makes that. If that didn't happen, I'd say, oh, it was a fucking weather balloon, or it was a fucking, somebody threw a fucking whatever, makeshift tinfoil piece of shit. I don't know. Yeah, but why were they so weird about
it? They were out there saying, well, it was this next day. It was, we lied yesterday. It was this. It's like, well, hold on.
They could not have been weirder about it. So that's what makes that one. But this is a totally different thing because you have these eyewitnesses. Not that there weren't eyewitnesses with Roswell, but they're
different kind of eyewitnesses, though. Roswell was like, oh, fuck, there's debris in my yard. This is 62 children. That's the number I generally see. I've seen it anywhere between 60 to 69. So, but well, we can. I know.
I didn't say anything.
But we'll tend to.
That's a lot.
We can say over 60, right? Over 60 kids between the ages of 6 and 12 at this school. It was called the Ariel School, A-R-I-E-L, like the mermaid. It was in Rua, Zimbabwe in September of 1994. For a little bit of background, I don't know too much about Zimbabwe's history. These are kids who were like this is like a rural, kind of small, isolated town. These kids were lucky if they had electricity in their homes, but they did not, you know, they weren't playing Legend of Zelda. They weren't watching Close Encounters of the Third Kind on VHS. Like, they were very isolated children. And one day while they were at school on break, recess, they said they saw one or more silver craft descend from the sky and land in a field near the school. Some of the kids ran over to the fence to see what it was all about. Some of them didn't.
So this was in the daytime?
This is like midday.
So they're just at recess, playing, kicking the ball, running around, playing tag, and they're like, ah.
All of the teachers, except, no, it wasn't even a teacher. It was like their cafeteria lady was basically watching over recess. All the teachers were in a meeting inside. And all of a sudden, they say they see this thing or more thing, more than one things. Silver, very classic flying saucer UFO land in a field nearby, and from it emerged men, quote unquote, dressed in all black with plastic looking skin that was pale gray, large American football shaped eyes, small slit mouths and nostrils that were barely recognizable. Very classic alien.
Little gray man.
Literally a little gray man. And then it gets fucking weird. So they said the crafts landed on the top of a hill and that the men who emerged from it were running down the hill in slow motion. They looked like they were moving in slow motion, but then they would like disappear and then reappear elsewhere. And they always talk about the guys or the, I'm just going to say alien. They always talk about the alien's eyes.
1 second. Hold that thought.
This fucking bitch. Getting home at a time.
I have chicken for you in there. Yeah.
Go see some aliens.
Grab a plate.
Creep.
Hi, it's Uncle Austin and Aunt Gino.
Aunt Gino. She can't hear you. I know. Use the clippers.
Do you mean scissors?
No, to grab
like chip clip. Wait, tongs?
Tongs, yeah, whatever they are. All right, you're getting chicken juice on me, dude.
Yeah, they have chicken.
He had chicken juice on him before he started the.
You, no, two is enough. You want three? If you're hungry, you can have three.
Are these chicken tenders or these?
They're tenderloins.
That's just a full breast at that point.
It's, yeah. And then a fork and a knife and whatever sauce you want. You know how to eat.
What is she, like 94 now or something?
Remember the last time you used it and you went. And
I think we got like three tubs of it here.
Tubs! A tub of Chick-fil-A sauce.
What would you call like it? What would you call it? What do they come in?
Bottle? A bottle of Chick-fil-A sauce?
A tub?
My right. Bathtub is full of Chick-fil-A sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez. Gross, right?
Little gray men, flying saucer, slow motion, teleporting.
Yes.
Three little gay men talking about gray men. Keep going.
That's exactly what's happening here.
Three little gay very men astute, talking about Gino. Gray men.
Very astute.
Very astute. Look at how many words he knows now.
Damn.
It's fucking crazy.
He may know more than Webster.
Didn't even mention socks.
Helps when it rhymes. So when Nick started podcast, I learned Jew. Because it rhymes with shoes.
We're teaching him. We're doing God's work over here.
The original God.
Old Testament.
Yeah, right. Anyway, yeah. So these little gray men come out of their little gay ships.
What was gay about them?
I don't know. They liked other.
Did they light
male
up?
Ships. They did light up. They
flamboyant
rainbow
sort of.
Yeah.
Come on, we're aliens. Get over here. See, that's I would love to be abducted. You get abducted by alien and it's just a gay club in the 80s. Everyone's blowing coke.
That'd be amazing.
That would be.
Hi, Laszlo.
We don't really know that gay clubs in the 80s weren't UFOs.
Laszlo, will you go away?
I'm trying to podcast here. Get out of here. Crazy. Crazy dog. Let me just move this whole sink, this whole vanity.
Lock my door with it. Just a whole sink sits in my office. Okay,
a sink.
Got to reset. Reset. Aliens landed. Big black eyes. Anyway,
I'm sorry. Big black guys.
They were little gray men with big black eyes.
Big black eyes.
Big black eyes.
Ice. But it was in Zimbabwe.
It was in Zimbabwe. Most of the kids were white.
Where's Zimbabwe? Africa? South Africa. South Africa.
Where is that in relation to Madagascar?
On the mainland?
Madagascar's in South America.
Madagascar's an island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, geographic.
Is it to the left or to the right of Zimbabwe?
Oh, Zimbabwe to Madagascar.
That's usually, you know, I give directions.
Oh my god, it's a 9.5 hour flight from Zimbabwe to Madagascar. So they're not close.
I can't imagine it's easy to get on a plane from Zimbabwe to Madagascar.
It should not be a 9.5 hour flight. They are way closer than you'd think.
Oh yeah.
If you look at a map, they're not far away.
Well,
Zimbabwe is directly west of Madagascar.
We don't know how their air traffic works.
They're separated by the ocean. A little bit of ocean and Mozambique.
Sorry, you were saying, Austin.
There you go. So anyway, these kids say they see some crafts and stuff land. Men come out of them. And they run and they tell the recess overseer.
The lunch lady?
The lunch lady who's hanging out there, making sure no one's up to no good. You know, they're young. Oh my god, we just saw this thing land, blah blah blah. Lunchly is like, no, you didn't. That's not true. None of the teachers really believe it. Kids go home, tell their parents. Parents are in a tizzy over this now, right? Because why are 60 of our children all freaked out, like crying, sobbing, because they're so fucking terrified? So they start calling back to the school. And the principal's like, okay, like, yeah, sure, right? Now this is like a big deal. Because so many parents are freaked out, it makes the news. And this, they call her a UFO expert. I don't really know if you can be a UFO expert. I don't think it comes with the, you know. But a UFO enthusiast, woman who has done a lot of stuff with UFOs, her name was Cynthia Hind. She heard about it on ZBC radio, which I'm assuming means Zimbabwe Broadcasting Company. And so she started kind of like, she had her own, she had a newsletter, and frequently wrote about UFOs. So she then wrote about this, and then that made the story even bigger. Eventually, the BBC caught on, and they asked their Zimbabwe correspondent, Tim Leach, to go to the school and interview the students.
Could you tell me what you saw on Friday?
Well, it looked like it was, like, glinting in the trees. Like, it looked, like, round about, like a disc, like a round.
Are you sure it wasn't a Harrier jump jet or something that the Zimbabwe Air Force
had
got?
It was like in a disc.
I saw something silver on the ground amongst the trees and a person in black.
They had big black eyes. That's all I saw. I saw a glimpse. They kind of turned around and stared and then went back into a kind of like ship.
I saw this silver thing in amongst this clump of trees with this one thing sitting on the side and another thing sort of like running up and down the top.
What did he look like?
His face was like this and his eyes were down here.
Mr. Mackey, you're headmaster of Ariel School. Tell me, what do you think of all this?
I feel sure that the children feel that they did see something. We asked them to draw pictures of what they saw on Friday, and after looking at those, I definitely feel that they did see something.
What do you think that was?
I agree that it could be something that we are not common with. But to actually say that it was a UFO, I would be reluctant to make a decision like that.
But whatever Tim Leach reported on, he ended up saying later on, I could handle war zones, but I could not handle this. So he was clearly, like, kind of freaked out by it. But so then the story got... Oh, go ahead.
He was the reporter?
Yeah, he was a BBC reporter.
So he, what, interviewed the kids? Or... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just went to the school.
All of them, what, like, having pretty much the same story and all 60, some of them saying, yes, I saw this happen.
Yeah.
Freaked him out, is what... More or less. Okay. Yep. All right.
Yep. I don't know if it was at this point or if it was later, but the kids did all make drawings of what they saw, which I'm going to send to you guys right now. It's again, you're not going to be like totally blown away by the drawings. They're, you know, kids crayon drawings, and they look like your standard fare run of the mill aliens. In silver UFOs and flying saucers and all that jazz.
Yeah. I mean, it's all pretty comparable to each other though.
Yeah. Right. And that's where it starts to get really interesting, is all these kids had like enough similar about their stories that they were clearly recalling the same event. It wasn't like none of the kids then threw in and also Santa Claus was there. And it was like, whoa, hold on. Okay. Now we're just like making shit up. Like they all,
it was like a few of the pictures have the UFO appearing in like the same group of specific trees.
Right.
Which is kind of weird.
Right. And I don't think kids making up a story would get that specific about it.
Yeah.
But there was enough variation between their stories, too. Like some of them said there was more than one flying saucer. Some of them said there was just one. They all had different kind of impressions and experiences with the creatures that came out of the UFOs, which I'll get into in a bit. But like people who looked into this more after the BBC interview were like, that's really like kind of typical of people telling the truth. Like eyewitness reports are never exactly the same because people interpret situations differently and view things from different angles and have their own shit that they bring into it. So like the through line of the story, the plot of it, right, was all the same. But then these individualized like slight variations weirdly lend a little bit more credibility to it. But anyway, after the BBC report, obviously that was like huge news. Like worldwide people were seeing that being like, what? And it attracted the attention of a Harvard professor of psychology. The guy's name was John Mack. He kind of was interested in UFO stuff in the early to mid 90s and was already on his way somewhere else in South Africa to do a radio interview with a medicine man figure who claimed to have been abducted by aliens. And he rerouted his planned course so that he could make a stop at the aerial school and also talk to the children. And so he sat down. This is like 2 months after the incident. And this acclaimed Harvard psychologist, who also won a Pulitzer Prize for a book that he had written. Like, the guy's so fucking credible. Shows up and sits down and interviews the children about what they saw. And then I pulled a few key quotes from the children. One fifth grader that he interviewed said that, I guess I should set this up a little bit. Some of the kids, when they looked into the aliens' eyes, said that the aliens then communicated with them telepathically.
Oh!
But not in English or...
Sure, but some
any
sort
other
of communication.
Human language. Like
that.
Right. Like, yeah, Gino. Something you're not telling us.
Yeah. basically, they were like, they were shown visions is what is kind of the best way I can describe it. So some of the kids said that they were shown visions of essentially like Earth on fire, like hellish nightmare scapes of potential world ending threats. And the way they interpreted it was one girl said, or maybe one fifth grader said, they were warned, quote unquote, about something that's going to happen and that pollution mustn't be. Another kid said, I think they want people to know that we're actually making harm on this world and we mustn't get too technologed. Another girl just said, maybe they're telling us the world's going to end. But the one that stuck out to me the most was this girl said, I felt scared because I've never seen such a creature before. John Max said, what made the creature scary? And she just said, the eyes looked evil. Again, they all are the ones who, like, you know, shared this part of the story, all said, like, the aliens had a weird message about the environmental implications of what was going on Earth. And we're like warning these children who, again, live in rural Zimbabwe and like aren't going to the theater to watch Star Wars. And like,
right.
I'm not going to say, like, I won't generalize and say none of them have any pop culture knowledge. And I'm sure maybe a few of them did know of UFO stories and whatnot. But like, on the whole, they're not American children going to a school in like central New York, right? Like, it's, there's a layer of separation there. And then another like interesting thing being John Mack, the Harvard psychologist, was then investigated by the deans at Harvard and like a group of his peers because he didn't just diagnose the kids with like mass hallucinations or anything like that. He was like effectively told them like, yeah, you, what you're saying you saw, you might've actually seen, sort of validating their stories. And I guess the people at Harvard didn't like that because they thought that was like a quack theory and that it was his responsibility to like sort of mass diagnose these children. And he didn't do it. Which is just another one of those, like, he ended up writing a book about this. He wrote two books about UFOs. But it goes to show, like, he wasn't doing this or, like, here just to be the UFO guy to make money. What he heard, he genuinely believed these children saw. I'm more just trying to say, like, none of this feels like a get-rich-quick-off-UFO story scheme.
Yeah.
Okay.
And some of the kids even thought, like, the aliens may have been these evil folklorish goblins called Ziva Quambo, which is a thing in Shona folklore. So like not every kid who said they saw something said they saw aliens. Some of them thought it was like stuff from their folklore. Be like seeing like the Jersey Devil.
At the pizza shop?
At the pizza shop. He's making your pizza pie and you go, oh, fuck. Be like seeing a big fat man in your house in the middle of the night. And you're like, Santa?
Yeah, I mean, that tracks.
Or like, I don't know. It'd be like if an Irish person said they saw a leprechaun, right? It's that same kind of like.
Yeah, okay. I'm following. They don't have the reference point of alien, but they do have the reference point of something in their folklore.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's really all there is to it other than like diving into like a recap of the new documentary. But like, again, a lot of these kids as adults will stand by what they said back then, which was that men came out of flying metal discs and spoke to them telepathically.
And then they just like got back in their ship and left.
Yeah,
pretty much. Is that it?
Pretty much. No abductions, no probing, no like.
Just stop it.
Yeah. No government interference, anything like that. It was just, and like another, it's just one of those things. It's like, why like rural Zimbabwe.
Just where they landed. Like,
kinda, yeah. I mean, I've played No Man's Sky. I know when you fly into a planet, you kind of just land where you
land. Just where you land. It could all be rural Zimbabwe.
I don't know, man. I think it's like one of the more convincing.
So what? Who's the girl that got all fucked up because of it?
I can look her name up. I want to say it was Emily. I don't know if they said her last name.
Just her having a vivid memory of that and not really ever being able to talk about it to people was a taxing thing on her life.
Yeah, like it being so hush hush in her family with her parents, like
super
not wanting to discuss it because of their religion. And well, I guess I could look up the IMDb for the film, huh? Be a good way to. Randall Nickerson was the director. To give credit where credit is due. Cast? No cast. Really letting me down here, IMDb. I'd really like to find it because I would like to see if I can find her art online and show you guys those photos. God damn it. Even the description just says a young woman returns to her school. So not helpful. That's crazy. Okay, sick. I found them. Hell yeah. Her name is Emily Trim. I did remember the name, so credit to Austin on that one. Yeah, here, I'm sending you guys some of the paintings now.
Ew.
Yeah, they're super freaky.
I don't like that.
So that's her adult interpretation of what she saw as a kid.
What the hell is with the one where it looks like they're under an animal with, like, udders?
I don't know, man. I don't know. And then strange. There's the Egyptian pyramid one with the
Iron the Illuminati looks a little Illuminati-esque.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that. Oh, maybe I didn't send it over to you guys. But here's another one where it is just her reinterpretation of the actual. Yeah, there you go. It's that same like tree line UFO flying saucer right in the middle kind of deal.
That one's spooky.
There's nothing else to the story other than like the interpersonal bits of it where it's like some kids, you know, moved away. They couldn't talk to their parents. The actual incident probably took, I think, like a couple minutes.
Yeah. It's
just like shit landed.
Really quick.
Yeah.
Boom. And then that's it. And then all of them saw it. And then you're
fucked up for life.
For life. So. Yeah, that's one of the most believable UFO stories I've heard.
I think so, for sure.
Just because the sheer amount of matching with the story. Now, of course, if I want to play devil's advocate, kids are very susceptible to one person says one thing.
Sure.
They all say it. They all piggyback off of it.
Yeah, that's where I
think it would be important to know if they were interviewed individually. Initially.
They were not.
So
they were interviewed in groups and all the other children were in the room.
Yeah.
So that is or at least when John Mack came to interview them.
OK.
I don't know about the initial.
The initial. Thing. Yeah, well, no, the initial reporter all had matching stories, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, the BBC reporter. He was there like days after. And I think it's another one of those things where it's like really important to acknowledge that the stories were similar enough, but they weren't the same. But it also wasn't like a game of telephone where it just like was totally different.
Right, and got more crazy and ridiculous the whole way. There were similarities, there were some slight differences, but the general consensus was eerily similar.
Right, and if anyone, like, even if you try and describe like what was happening in the crowd at a concert to somebody,
right,
your perspective is going to be totally different from somebody at the other end of the crowd.
But you were at the concert.
You're going to have some same stuff. And I kind of view it the same way, where it's like shit ton of kids. No one really knows what's happening, but they can kind of recall what they saw from where they were standing.
And the thing about the environment is also interesting because that's not, maybe they were learning about protecting the Earth in class or something. And that was the thread there, but if that's not the case, a kid is never going to think of that.
Exactly. Typically. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how many fifth grade children. Well, they said they were age 6 to 12. So I don't know how many children in that age range are constantly thinking about how much damage we've done to the environment as a species.
Especially alone, since they're
kids in like an isolated
that don't have part. A lot of technology.
Right.
So they're not thinking, oh my god.
Like, theoretically they're not seeing like a shit ton of
enough. They have stuff. They have cars, they have all that, you know, there's enough pollution that they do with just the Industrial Revolution alone.
Right. I just think it's a really interesting case that no one really talks about. Like as someone who's always been curious about like UFO stuff, I've never heard this until like maybe 6 months ago.
94 too.
94, recent.
The UFO craze was pretty over by then.
Right. I don't think there were any like big movies around that time that would have come out. Men in Black was a couple years later. The Tom Cruise War of the Worlds was maybe a decade later. I mean, there have always been movies, but like...
Yeah, I mean, you still have the original War of the Worlds, A Day the Earth Stood Still, the original that one and everything.
But... Yeah, maybe Close Encounters was out at that point, but like, again, I don't even know how many of these kids saw it. If it was airing on TV, maybe. I don't think any of them had like a VHS copy of it. I don't know where they would buy it, right?
Yeah, and you know, for someone to carry, for a lot of these kids to carry it with them for years to come, and none of them be like, no, it was all bullshit. We all banded together and we're like, haha, wouldn't this be funny?
Right.
None of them said that. So, yeah.
At least if any of them did, it never made its way into any movie.
Well, sure. So that's another thing. That's another thing.
Because there's always that possibility that someone was like, nah, man, that was all bullshit. And they were like, ooh, can't use that.
We're not using this.
Yeah.
Thanks for your time. So, I mean, obviously.
I think one of the kids like went into like the British Navy or something like that too and asked to keep his name off the record because he didn't want to be the military guy who was talking about a UFO when he was a kid. But he still talked about it. He still was like, nah, no, I fucking saw that shit. Just don't say my name. But sheesh, you know, that's all. Sheesh.
So what do they refer to this as? The aerial school
UFO incident.
The aerial school UFO incident. Interesting. Yeah. Very interesting. So you came across this because of the documentary was on Netflix or something?
No, I was listening to another podcast. I don't know, Gino, what are your thoughts? How do you feel about this?
I guess I really haven't looked too much into UFOs myself, but it sounds as maybe, I don't know, that sounds like as plausible as anyone that I've heard. I don't know. That sounds believable.
Well, let me ask like a more general question then. What is your where do you stand on aliens coming to Earth, UFO stuff?
I think it's probably happened. I just try not to think about it.
Fair and valid.
Way too existential for me, man. I can't fucking deal with that. You know how much shit I have going on in my day-to-day life? You want me to you ask me about aliens?
You throw that shit in the pot. Unbelievable. Yeah. Well, no, I think I'm at a similar point as Gino. It's like we can't be the only ones. But at the same time, I don't know. Yeah. How could they keep up the ruse for this long?
I'm torn on it too, because I like to think that, people have, aliens, not people. Do we consider them people? What is the definition of people?
Life forms.
Yeah. Life forms from another planet. I mean, people gotta have more technology than humanity would, just theoretically. I think it makes sense that visitors would have come here, but also, you know, even if we can disprove every UFO aliens on Earth story, I saw a map of the universe, at a conservatory once as a kid. And I was like, that's fucking big, dude. You're telling me, and out of all of that, nothing else is out? That's crazy to me. But I know people who believe that. I know people who are like, nope, it's just us. It's like, really? That shit is billions of years old.
And then you got to think of like life forms in ways that we can't even comprehend, that live on different planes of existence that we don't even fully understand or have any sort of technology or the brain capability to be able to fathom.
Right. We don't even know what dark matter is. It makes up most of the universe. That's most of it. We don't know what it is.
Don't know what it is.
It'd be like if we looked at water and we were like, what the fuck is that? That's most of Earth.
Let me ask you guys a general question on all conspiracies.
Okay.
Just in the realm of conspiracy theories, does monkey pop balloon or does balloon pop monkey? Because monkey will always be popping balloon. But when you hit free play at the end of the level, it'll go until the balloons defeat the monkeys. Until monkeys can handle no more balloon.
What are you talking about?
Monkey pop balloon.
You talking about balloons? Tower defense? Like the
yes, balloons tower defense.
Like how we played in that one class.
Yes, like how we played in that one class co-op. I forgot that we did that actually.
Balloons tower defense. See, I was just thinking like the original balloon,
just the blunk.
Yeah.
No, I always see this.
Is balloons tower defense the better game?
Oh, way better.
I got it.
Get Balloons Tower Defense 6 on your Steam Deck and we'll play sometime. It will change your life.
There's six of them? Is it like I pay money for this game or is it?
I think it's free. No, it's a couple bucks. It's a couple bucks.
A couple bucks?
It's way worth it, dude.
I think I bought it. I bought the sixth one on my phone. I'm trying to load it up right now.
That's Yeah. I have it synced with my Steam account.
I haven't played it in a while.
So whatever I do on my phone will happen on my Steam, and whatever happened on my Steam will happen on my phone.
Wow.
I always played, you know, like the free version.
People that play Balloons Tower Defense are a certain breed, and they always have it because it's that fun. It is strategic.
But
I'll go back to you.
Oh my god, it's $7 for the phone version?
Oh what? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably just gonna get it on the Steam Deck then.
Same price.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what's more dangerous.
The balloons or the monkeys?
Well, having it on my
Steam Deck.
You think Steam Deck's more dangerous? I feel like having this on my phone.
It's a battery killer though.
But I have an iPad too.
It's perfect for a Steam Deck or an iPad, really, if you have them on you all the time. The only thing that would make the phone better is that you always have it on you. But if I'm going to sit down and play some Balloons TD, I'm sitting down and playing some Balloons. It's not like I'm on the bus. You got to
be I don't space. I don't know why I am even quite. I work from home. I don't go anywhere. I literally don't even have a car.
You can have it in a separate tab. So
But your question was does balloon pop monkey or does monkey pop
balloon? Does monkey pop balloon or does balloon pop monkey at the end of the day?
At the end of the day, I guess.
Well, it's kind of a chicken, which came first, the chicken or the egg type scenario.
Well, the monkey came first.
No, I'm not saying did the balloon or the monkey come first. I'm saying does monkey pop balloon or does balloon pop monkey at the end of the day?
I mean, monkey pops balloon.
Sure.
But the balloons keep coming until monkey loses.
I mean, you can win the difficulty level, but if
unless
you're on
you
free
do
play, it is forever.
Does the monkey pop if it loses?
Metaphorically.
Okay. I think that was where I was getting confused. I was like, do the balloons have needles attached to them? Like
some of them.
Fuck, do they really? Wow. Technology's crazy, dude. That's nutty.
So, get this. Some of the balloons have other balloons inside of them. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones you got to watch out for. You got to have a sniper. You got to have a rocketeer because the ones with the hard shells can't be popped by regular darts. So you have to have a bomber in there. And then the ones that have fucking, I don't know. Anyways, we've derailed. We derailed after the pod.
I know. I was really surprised. We made it. I think it's the first time I've ever made it through the story, like, without some weird tangent in the middle.
Pinocchio did not grace us.
No.
Pinocchio theory.
It feels wrong.
It does feel wrong.
It feels like someone could sit down and listen to this.
Yeah,
and
we missed a chunk, but we didn't. We just didn't.
It's like, efficient. No, here's the story.
We were efficient.
Yeah.
But, all right, well, thanks for listening.
In theory, we should wrap it up, but
yeah.
I did want to bring something else personal up. Now, Gino, I'm going to need you to call me Oni-chan in your best waifu voice.
Ooh. Oni-chan. Shin Makamoto.
That is not a waifu. That is the opposite of what you were supposed to do. But
what was I supposed to do?
The hairs on the back of my neck are standing up.
That was it.
That was it. That was it. That has to be our outro for every episode now. Here we go. Conspiracy Ghost. Onicha.
Oh man!
All right.
No one's safe. That's how you got to play it. No one's safe.
No one's safe.
And just for good measure, oh, white people are so gay.
Some of them. the gay ones.
The gay ones sure are. Yeah. You can't use gay is not an insult. It's a. I believe it's a type of Scandinavian dish.
Yeah. I think I've had it. I don't think I knew that was what it was.
It's called gay sex.
Yeah, gay sex.
So you've had it.
Yeah.
You've had gay sex.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. On that note,
thanks for listening. Buy our CDs.
We've got merch coming. Austin, tell us about the merch.
Oh, we got some merch. Okay, well, as you all know, you listeners, a while back, Nick and I used to take baths together, and then we would bottle up the water post-bath, the dirty, dirty water, and we would sell it on our website, and it was a huge success. And so we decided to bring it back under a new name, though, but it also... Now the Gino's here, we've actually made it with Gino as well. And it is called Boy Soup.
Boy Soup.
It is available. Yeah. And then we just dropped in a couple fingernail clippings, a little bit of hair, just to really, you know, like, otherwise it would just be broth.
Right. This is Boy Soup.
But this is Boy Soup. So that is available on the website, MillerHighLife.com. Check it out. Go there. Buy our merch there. We also decided we're going to release every episode of this podcast on 33 RPM LPs you to listen to on your record player.
It was just sort of our original intention, so we wanted to maintain the authenticity of the original vision we were trying to accomplish with this.
Right, so. Yeah. We said... I know the convenience of podcasting is that it's digital and you can access it digitally, but what if it was analog? And that's why we've been recording this directly onto tape. So every time I have to edit an episode, I actually have to physically cut the tape and stitch it back together. It's kind of a pain in the ass, but I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I mean, Austin doesn't have a woman's touch as well, so it's right. A little harder for his big meaty sausage fingers.
I do have big fingers, and I'm very sweaty.
Very not as sweaty as Gino.
Nobody.
Not
is.
As sweaty. Gino's
not allowed in the editing room.
Yeah. Gino opened the door and I had to scrap an entire episode.
It's just
the little bit of sweat that flew off of his knuckles.
His entire back has a tattoo of a slippery when wet sign.
Yeah. Could have been somebody else. That's all.
Just because it's always an issue. He had to get a tattoo.
I bought him gloves. So that this kind of thing wouldn't happen, but he thought they were socks, and then he put them on his feet.
And they fit really well.
They did.
I have long toes.
Grippers, some might say.
He does have some grippers. He also has a tail, which I know we haven't talked about that yet.
Guys, can we cut this, please? Okay.
Oh, sorry.
He's not. Yeah. He didn't. He's not tail out of the closet yet.
Well, the problem is, alongside this episode, we're actually launching a new piece of merch, and it's a Geno tail replica that you yourself can buy and wear. admittedly, it is just leftovers from Dragon Ball Z cosplays that we've picked up over the years.
Most of them coming.
But
from
it me. Is. It is uncanny. It is uncanny. Geno's tail looks exactly like... I actually thought he was wearing one the first time we met, and I yanked on it, and then he went, oh, and I was like, oh, that's not... That's a real tail, man. That's really, you should hide that. That's fucking gross.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. I'll,
Dear Diary, I went on their stupid little podcast and gave them my stupid little opinion, and all they did was bring up my tail.
They've been on my tail since the beginning.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. We've reached the tail end of the podcast here today.
Boo! Make sure you like it, bike it, and put it in your ficus. Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.
Bye, guys.
Geno doesn't...